It's time once again for Conversations with the Mayors here on 97.9 The Hill. Support coming from the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro, home to one of the most diverse, collaborative, and fastest growing communities of business leaders in North Carolina. They are uniquely qualified to connect you with the people, resources, and opportunities that you need to succeed. Learn more about membership by heading to their website, carolinachamber.org. We're talking Chapel Hill today, and joining me on the phone is Mayor Pam Hemminger to help fill us in on many things happening around town. Pam, how are you? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, but I do want to start off by offering our condolences to Congressman David Price and his family. We learned this morning that his wife, Lisa, had passed, and I don't know if people know that she used to be one of the mayor's aides back in the day and very instrumental in advocating for gun safety legislation. So she was waiting for this bill to get signed in the Congress, and hopefully more gun laws, sensible gun laws, coming forward as well.
I was going to say, I know that a lot of people still processing and hearing this news for the first time, and certainly across our community, when you're a congressman, people might get to know you a little bit better. But Lisa seems to be, in her own right, an incredible member of service and advocacy, especially locally. It seems like she did some really incredible work directly with the towns and broader, as you were just mentioning.
Yeah, and she was always engaged. She was constantly contacting us about different concerns and issues and working on things. Booker Creek was one of the ones she was very concerned about, just development in general and talking things through. She really understood the community well, and she was invaluable to Congressman Price. She was always by his side, working together on issues, and we are going to miss her.
There's no doubt about it. We knew that she had been kind of taking a turn for the worse in terms of her health when Congressman Price was not able to be at the big ceremony that happened on Monday that the town of Chapel Hill had put on. I know that Congressman Price is a major advocate for Chapel Hill Transit, and so it was a shame that he missed that pretty special ceremony. But I think it's fair to say it's why that ceremony was held for Howard and Lillian Lee. So as you mentioned, breaking from town tradition, we could celebrate them while they're still here with us and let them know how much our community has appreciated their work when it comes to not only the transit system, but also just their lifetimes in Chapel Hill.
It was so important to do this because we really did want them to know how much and how grateful we were. I was very sad that Reverend Seymour wasn't here to see this. He'd been advocating for a long time to do something in honor of Howard and Lillian, and so had Alan Reimer, who couldn't make it back for the ceremony. They were constantly advocating and thought, you know, we need to do this. We just need to do this. And it was so important, and we've been celebrating different transit deliverables this last year, so this was really an important thing to do. And it was a wonderful tribute. It really, really was. It made me proud of this community showing up and speaking up, and it was just delightful to hear the Lees share their experience, and loved hearing the bus drivers from our first bus system. It was a really wonderful ceremony, and I'm so glad we did this.
I was going to say, we did some coverage of our own, but I'm curious about, out of all of the incredible moments that took place and all of the incredible kind words that people shared, were there any special moments that jump out to you in terms of, either how the Lees received all of those honors or how people were remembering the Lees at Monday ceremony?
I would say just confirming when Reverend McFarland at the end talked about Lillian's gumption and Howard's patience and determination and contributions to community. They both contributed to community, and it was a great reminder that people came here to our community not sure if they would be welcome or not, and at first weren't feeling that welcome, and managed to rise above that and pull people together, become the mayor, become the leader of the hospital school system, and really bridge that gap and show that we can work together and make things happen, even when people have differences that I guess were at the time considered too extreme. But, they really, really bridged all that and brought community together. And I think that was important to hear those stories again and to really hold them up.
We're speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. If you want to find our coverage and some highlights from that excellent ceremony on Monday honoring Howard and Lillian Lee and honoring the Chapel Hill Transit System, too, in an indirect way, be sure to head to chapelboro.com. But also townofchapelhill.org has tons of information on all of that. And I think that does segue pretty well into the town council meeting that happened on Tuesday this week, the very rare Tuesday Chapel Hill Town Council meeting. But it was kind of transit oriented. Talking about development and the developments that are happening in town, but also how to use transit to connect those, right, Pam? Can you share?
That was one piece of it. We really are kicking off this visioning process to talk about what do we want to see. We have hired a consultant, Jennifer Keysmat and Jennifer Hurley, to do this work with us, to engage with the council and the community and the staff to talk about how we do this. And it was interesting having Jennifer Keysmat down here talking about how unusual our town is for a town this size, because we have a downtown and then we have nodes that go out as in Southern Village and Meadowmont and Blue Hill and the North Chapel Hill, and how we do need to have transit connecting all of those and bikeways and greenways, that most towns our size have a downtown that spreads out, and then the different neighborhoods surround all that. Ours is a very different system. So how do we want to see that connect together? What do we want to see? What kind of housing work do we need? How do we keep our Chapel Hill character, and what does that look like? And then how do we form a planning process that gets us those results? And so this is a visioning. They'll be talking to community leaders, but then they're going to be reaching out and having other public input sessions. And it's going to be about trade-offs. If you want this, then this is what you're going to have to do. If you want that, this is what you're going to have to do. And if you do this, this is the community you will stay. And she put up three hard truths for us. And I think everyone was willing to acknowledge the hard truths on the council. So it'll be interesting to see how the community reacts to those hard truths.
I was going to say, that sounds fascinating. Do you remember what the three were off
the
top of your
head? Number one is that we already are an exclusive bedroom community. And so how do we not continue on that path?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm need
that's
to go
okay.
back and look.
That's okay. I kind of jumped you on it. There's no
doubt.
There's been so much that's happened between now and Tuesday. You know, it's not quite the 24-hour turnaround that we usually have after town council meetings.
And so just talking about how we move forward, knowing those truths, to make a community that's sustainable. And she talked about that. If you want to become a sustainable community environmentally, economically, socially, all those things, then you're going to have to make some hard decisions.
Yeah.
And it's the right time for us to do this before we start rewriting our land use management ordinance. And because of the pressures of growth in the Triangle, which are going to continue. We're the third hottest job market in the country. People are coming here. So how do we incorporate that? What do we do so that we don't become just an exclusive bedroom community?
Once again, we're speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. If you want to find highlights from that town council meeting on Tuesday, you can head to townofchapelhill.org. They'll have the meeting materials there, too, so you can get a true look at the documents and the things that were discussed on Tuesday. We have a few minutes left with the mayor. Anything else that has happened recently or that is upcoming that you want to highlight? I know that
want to say we are off and running with food for students.
Yes.
We began serving lunch around 12 sites in the different neighborhoods. And people can also stop by Northside, Rashkus, McDougal, and Chapel Hill High School cafeteria for a meal. We got the free book Wednesday rolling out, thanks to Jeannie and team. And the fun buckets are full and going to be going out. If you want to participate, go look at the website for food for students and see how you can plug in. We'd love to have your help. And then there's going to be a wonderful Pride celebration on Friday tomorrow. There's going to be a walk down and come together and food trucks and everything. And another wonderful celebration to end June, which is Pride Month, and we're very excited about this as well.
So, absolutely.
A lot going on, and hopefully the weather will stay in the cooler side of what we've had lately so that people can be outside and enjoy being together in a safe environment. We still are seeing interesting COVID numbers and trying to figure that out. But so far, hospitalizations are not reflective of the more COVID positive tests. So we're pleased about that as well.
Certainly something that we are keeping our eye on. I want to go back to Food for Student really quickly. I know that it is something, an effort that's close to your heart and that we've talked about plenty of times. But if there are, and I know also our community members are usually quite conscious of this, but if there are some folks out there who might, you know, not be aware of kind of the popularity of Food for Students, can you explain the need for Food for Students as well, that food insecurity that our community still experiences?
Our students who are on free and reduced lunches don't get those meals during the 11-week summer that we're forced to have. The state regulates the school calendar, and so these students don't get access to those food enrichment pieces, and so we try to bridge that gap by delivering meals 5 days a week, along with other enrichment activities for these kids. They love the Free Book Wednesdays. We have other activities that go on. The fun buckets have things to do in them. And we have volunteers and school support personnel going out to the sites, interacting with the kids every day, helping just make that summer a little more productive and connecting with people. And it's been such an amazing program. We've had over 600 volunteers during the summer. We've done millions of meals. I don't have the current number now, and then all the food is produced by the school system vendor who does food nutrition, child nutrition services, there you go, who gets reimbursed through the FDA for these summer programs. And it's just an amazing program in this community to bring folks together to help those families stretch those dollars, to give the kids an activity every day to show up and do. It's really, and the food's pretty good.
That doesn't hurt. That definitely helps. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that Chicken Nugget Day is the most popular.
Well, that does not surprise me one bit. You can find out more about Food for Students by heading to the district website, chccs.org. We also have shared their summer schedule in terms of the locations where Food for Students is set up if you want to check that out on Chapelboro. And a reminder to townofchapelhill.org, the website to go to for all things town government related. Mayor Pam Heminger, as always, thank you so much for the time and hope you enjoy the rest of your week.
You too. Thank you. Bye.